Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's often been said that Americans are very individualistic, and this is certainly part of our history. We have lots of pioneers and explorers and rebels among the founders of our nation. And I think sometimes this individualism carries over into our religious life. And you can hear people say things like, "This is my faith, and my God, and my walk with Christ. Which church meets my needs?" Are the Ten Commandments actually relevant to an individualistic society? Because in the Bible, the individual is not the standard of measure. Community is always far more important in the Bible than the individual. And almost always, God is at work for the good of the whole people of Israel. And even when God is working with individuals like Moses or King David, God is addressing them and using them as the leaders of the whole people of Israel. Because individual leaders like David and Moses, they can and they will have an impact on the community of people, for good or for ill. Now, sometimes it's hard to tell that the Bible has this communal emphasis. I've mentioned this before. I know that in English, when we say you, it could mean you individually or you plural, but we kind of tend to assume that it means you individually, you John, rather than you, whole group gathered here. But the Bible, as I've said before, is usually referring to you in the plural, y'all, or all y'all. So when we read the Ten Commandments and we come across this word you shall not, comes up every line, we have to think about who is this you being addressed here? Your God. I brought you out of slavery in Egypt. You shall not, you shall. So we've got to read this as members, as individuals certainly, but also as members of a group. God's words and God's actions do, of course, have implications for me as an individual personally. But God's actions are definitely focused on this whole group of people. So what do these Ten Commandments mean for us? They're very important. You know, some folks want to post them in all sorts of public places, whether they're religious places or not. Other people view the Ten Commandments as a list of restrictions, things that impede their freedom. Too often, we don't know why we should be observing these commandments. And it can be easy, I know, to focus on them as negative. There are a lot of knots in here. It can be easy to look on them as a bunch of rules that get in our way. You know, you may think back to being adolescent and remember that time as thinking that all the rules were just designed just to harass you in particular. But the Ten Commandments are about so much more than kind of a spoil sport attitude. They are not put together for keeping us corralled or punished. Instead, the Ten Commandments are a set of common sense laws that are designed to help us live together. They present the values that underlie all of the 600 plus other laws that are found in the Bible. So when you look at the Ten Commandments, I don't want you to get too hung up on the shall nots, because when God is giving Moses these Ten Commandments, God is giving them for the good of the people. It's not just a personal way of life for Moses. Because God has liberated the people from slavery in Egypt, God is now giving these life-giving commandments. So the first three of the commandments, they deal with how to relate to God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. Do not misuse the Lord's name. God should be of chief importance to us. God isn't just one other choice among all those choices that we have. God's power, signified by God's name, is not to be invoked lightly. We've got to take God seriously. That's what's at stake in these three first commandments. Now, the fourth commandment, to keep the Sabbath, that's kind of about how we treat God, and it's also kind of how we treat other people. It's a reminder that we need rest, and that in our rest, we acknowledge that God is in charge, not us. But we're not the only ones who need rest. Our whole society needs rest. Those who serve us in our society need rest. And so on this day of rest, we might give up control of our finances or just focusing on the fact that it is God alone who brought us out of slavery. We didn't do that by ourselves. God alone sustains our daily life, not our own efforts. The last of the six commandments, or the last six of the Ten Commandments, are all about how we relate to one another, starting with our parents, that most formative relationship. Some of you may remember what it was like to be a teenager or to have teenagers in the house and sort of the hostility that can sometimes take place during that time. But I actually think that the issue of honoring parents is most important when we are adults and our parents are aging. I think it's a really important question for society to think about how do we honor elders who are ill, maybe inconvenient, maybe not contributing according to the standards of our society's ideas of productive. These commandments are the core part of our morality in relationships. The Ten Commandments are not a guide to individual salvation. They're not about your best life now. When we consider murder, theft, lies, adultery, these are all about how we are in relationship together. When we commit acts like murder, adultery, they diminish not only our own personal integrity, but they turn things like the truth and our neighbor's property, our relationships, they turn all these things into consumer items for our own use. They are gifts of God. They are not consumer items for our use. The Ten Commandments are about us together, how we live life in community, how we get along with our neighbors. One writer says that the Ten Commandments are about your neighbor's best life now. We've got this law because God cares about our neighbor at least as much as God cares about us. And if we know that God cares about us, God also cares about our neighbor at least as much. And God gave us these Ten Commandments so that we know how to treat our neighbor. And, of course, so our neighbor will know how to treat us, too. These are rules and disciplines, really, for life in community. Disciplines mean that we've got to practice them. We can't just take them for granted. Instead, we've got to observe these Ten Commandments regularly as ways to deepen our relationship with God and ways to deepen our relationship with one another. So this is what it is like to live as believers, as disciples of Christ, conscious of how our actions impact other people. In fact, this is what love looks like, these Ten Commandments. When Christ lifts up two commandments as above all others, they cover the whole gamut. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. The Ten Commandments show us how to love. How to love our God. Not idols. Honoring the Sabbath. Worshiping God alone. and how to love our neighbor without lying and cheating and stealing. The Ten Commandments were given in love. They are the structure of our life together, our life in community. The Ten Commandments are meant to be a blessing for all. They're not a life-restricting curse. People may say that somebody they know has broken the commandments. Well, are the commandments really ever broken? Isn't it really us who are broken by our failures to keep the commandments? Our failures to live life in life-giving ways? Even in a contemporary age where freedom is paramount, where if it makes you happy is the prime measure of whether something is moral or not, aren't we the ones who are broken when we do not keep the commandments? I believe that the Ten Commandments are more relevant now than ever, and that they can teach us so much about God if we follow them intentionally, rather than by trying to just figure it out, make it all up on our own. The commandments give us life with God and in community. They give us a life that is rooted in what God has done for us and all that God will do through us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.